We welcome you this morning to our service. We're going to begin, please, with number 582. We never need be vanquished. We never need give in. The waging war with Satan encompassed round by sin. I pray that as we begin our service today, as we worship the Lord from our hearts, we will know that joy and victory of over temptation and every attack the devil brings against us. We will know his joy and peace. Let's stand, please, as we sing. That's a good start to our worship today. And as we think of the theme and that last phrase we've been singing, Himself, just all we need. Well, the truth is that we think we can do some things by ourselves, but when we come to realize in the Lord Jesus that we need Him every moment of every day, He said, without Him, without me, you can do nothing. And you know, believer, the more we come to rest in that truth, the more we come to understand what that means, we just cast our everything upon Him. And we know this truth, that we never need to be vanquished. We never need give in. Because though there is a battle that rages every day against God's church, against His people, yet still we can be confident and know that in Him we are victorious because we have risen with Christ. And therefore, we seek those things which are above. Let's settle our minds now before the Lord, please, in prayer. Father, as we come this morning at the beginning of a new Lord's Day, and as, Father, we come to the beginning of a new season of work and service in our church and school, Lord, we pray at the very beginning of our meeting that we would know the power of the Spirit of God enabling us, quickening us, renewing our zeal and our heart's devotion to our Savior. We come, Lord, to ask this day we might know the power and the blessing and the joy of Christ in our hearts day by day. Lord, we lift our souls in worship and adoration. We are thankful, Lord, for every grace and every mercy. We're thankful, Lord, that you are abundant in mercy and that we need not anything else if we have our God with us. Teach us, Lord, what it means to walk each day with a holy contentment. Help us, we pray, Lord, though in that contentment with all earthly things, and in that contentment where we know we abide in Christ, yet, Lord, also we desire to be more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus. We desire that we will grow in grace and grow in sanctification. We desire, Lord, that we might advance spiritually so that we will be changed and less like our old nature and more like unto our Savior. Father, I pray that we would know in our congregation, as we come to rededicate ourselves, rededicate our church and ministry and our school, and everything that you have given to us, Lord, we give back to you again. And we pray that we might be so very conscious that without our Savior we can do nothing. And that everything good that is done through this ministry and work, it is all of grace and all of our God. And Lord, the things that go wrong, we must take responsibility for those things. Lord, I pray that your joy and peace would be poured out upon every believer, and that we would reflect and show that light and that truth and the peace of God that abides within us, so that others that come in contact with us would know that we have been with Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer today. Father, pour out your blessing upon every family. Save those loved ones that are outside of Christ and those that have drifted away, that are not walking where once they were. Yes, Lord, they made a profession of faith some years ago, maybe, but today they seem very distant. Draw them back, we are asking. Draw them, Lord, back into a full fellowship again. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless those who are not well, weak in body, but yet strong in spirit, and others that are going through very, very hard spiritual challenges that are connected with some practical issue. Lord, answer their prayer, give them victory in their life, and let each one of us know the joy of walking and of communing and of knowing that we are preserved in the hand of our God. Lord, we pray that prayer. We ask that the Word of God will be written upon our hearts so that we will grow daily in the things of Christ. Our Father, remember our other congregations. Remember every faithful man who's preaching the Word of God today. Strengthen them. Bless them. May there be signs following the ministry of your Word, both in salvation and in the building up of the Church of Christ. Lord, what we're asking for ourselves, we pray for every faithful tongue. Lord, move across all faithful witnesses in the land of Canada. We pray for our politicians. We pray for our leaders. We pray for their salvation. We pray for them to be kept from evil. We pray, O God, that there would be gospel freedom and gospel liberty so that the word of the Lord will go forward unhindered. Lord, defeat every attempt of the devil to destroy our ministry or to put a block in the things of Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would help us in this day of evil. We know the predictions of Scripture. We know that the mystery of lawlessness must come about before our Savior returns. But Lord, in the midst of all that, we pray that we as the people of God might know that reviving and the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, that our witness would not be diminished, our witness would not be clouded over with all of the evil, but rather shine brightly through the evil in our day. Lord, we have come to the kingdom, we have come to the country, to this generation for such a time. And I pray that we will be raised up and used. Lord, work in our congregation. Bring along the next generation that will be on fire for Christ. A next generation that will come to places of leadership in our church here and within our denomination. Lord, to that end, we are asking that you would raise up men who would be called of God to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is our prayer. It's our need. It's the need of this time. And so, Father, we pray. We pray humbly. We pray earnestly. We pray boldly, Lord, to that end. We come to beseech Thee, O God, with all our being, to answer according to your divine will, and that, Lord, we might be praying in the will of God, that we will be praying over the Scripture, that we'll be praying on the promises, and that we will rest there and know that as you hear, Lord, you will answer as we pray on the ground and on the merit of our Lord and Savior. So, Father, remember those who are sick today. We ask for your blessing upon them. They will know your portion. Those shut in can't be out. Lord, be with them today, we pray. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Bless us as we continue in this time of worship. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Well, let's continue, please, in our worship, number 566, Channels Only, Blessed Master. Today we are thinking about the beginning of a new fall program of work and really what it means to come with the desire that we will rededicate our souls to the Lord, our lives, that He will rejuvenate us with that zeal that is necessary. And it's good to be coming through summertime and holidays, but we realize also the need to come back to the necessity of life and of serving of the Lord. Channels Only, Blessed Master. Let's stand, please, to sing.
Thank you.
Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus, chapter 2. The book of Titus, chapter 2. We read in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not a purloining or embezzling or keeping back, but showing all good fidelity, faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Well, these words that we have read as the apostle exhorted young Titus, as he was a servant of God and a pastor, given the responsibility of teaching, of directing, of leading the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was instilling in them and encouraging them that their walk with God needed to be different from the way they used to walk in the world. The walk that they needed to have was to be an example. It was to start in the house of God, because the example that was to be echoing and reverberating from there within the house of God was, of course, to be encouraging one to another. And then it was to obviously go out to the wider community, as we as believers are called to do that. Notice, as he was talking there about how we were looking forward to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God, because we are called as a peculiar people to show forth good works in this world that is not full of good works, but rather full of evil works. And so, believer, as we challenge ourselves by the Word of God and endeavor to have it written upon our minds and our hearts, well, so we want to show that clear and bright testimony to everyone. May God help us and encourage our hearts. We welcome you this morning to the Lord's house, and we are glad to see you here. We know that there might be one or two that are still away on holidays, but nonetheless, we're very happy that you are here with us, and we want to encourage you in the things of God. And as we begin a fall program of work, we began our Sunday school started this morning, and I was very encouraged as I would challenge you as we want to start our Bible class at 9:45, and that means to be in your seat 5 minutes early at least, so that we can be sure to maximize all the time. And the Sunday school teachers in our meetings are always saying, we don't just seem to have enough time to do our Bible lesson and to do the memory work. And I'll tell you, if we got started promptly every time at 9:45, and if everyone had their young people, the children there in good time, well, that would be a great help. So let me challenge you with that, and challenge you in the Lord's Day services to come early, to come 10 minutes early for the service, in order that you might be in your place and seated and have an opportunity to meditate, not coming in late, because if you do that, well, you've missed out on the opening hymn, you've missed out on the opening prayer, and you're just not going to be able to engage in the full part of the service. And we want that to be a blessing to you. So let me challenge all of you to make sure you set your alarms a little bit early, especially as we come into the fall and winter program. And we want to give the very fullest of all of our services to our God in our worship and in our devotion to Him. But as we welcome you all today, we are thankful for those here in person and those who are online. It's very good to see Brother Brian Lumbago's auntie back with us again. You are very welcome. And we know our sister Rowena, well, she is spending her first Lord's Day as she's moved out to British Columbia, and the rest of the family will be relocating there as well. We want to remember the entire Delina family, please, in your prayers, remembering them all before the Lord. Very happy that Mrs. Warden is with us today in the service. Mrs. Warden, this is her 85th birthday, right on the very day. And so we want you to be sure that you make a good, warm word of welcome to Mrs. Warden, so happy that she's with us today and want to encourage her in the Lord. Please remember that as we have begun our school, we've been much in prayer about that. Whitfield has now got its first almost full week under its belt, and we had hoped to have the dedication of the school last Friday afternoon out in the sports field, but the rain was upon us, and so it's been postponed until this coming Friday, 3 p.m. If you're able to come along, you're very welcome to do that. It won't be a long time, but it will be a time of the gathering of the parents and the students and the staff, and to acknowledge the Lord's hand, to pray for our school, and to devote and to dedicate our ministry unto Him. So please think about that. Let me encourage you also regarding the use of our library. If you're a part of our ministry here, we have a library on the upper level, and also a shorter aspect of that library in the fellowship room on this level, and there's sign-out instructions, and there's excellent books there, biographies and histories and good doctrine theological books, and make use of those. And if you sign them out, please don't forget to bring them back again after a month. If you have it for 30 days, the book, then you bring it back in and let someone else make use of that. So we want to encourage you regarding those things. Think about the Kim family, Reverend Kim and his wife Hannah. They are not well, and so that's why they're not here today. I'm thankful that Mrs. McClelland is back playing for us at the organ again, and so we appreciate that, her stepping in. Do remember, please, the Kim family. I know some others are under the weather as well today, but we pray for the Lord's hand on them. Today, our prayer time at 5:50, and that is before our evening service of worship at 6:30. And then please remember, there will be a praise time following our evening service tonight. Wednesday evening is our Bible study and our prayer time. And as a pastor, I encourage you to be on time and in your place at every service, not just in the Sunday morning. I want to challenge those who come Sunday morning, but you might not be coming Sunday evening. I challenge you to be a part of all the services that we have in our church, and that means Sunday evening as well. It's a completely different service from the standpoint of a different message, different hymns that we sing, and it's not the same as the morning message. And so that's for the evening time. Come along, be a part of that. Make use of all that the Lord has for you, that you might grow in the Lord. So with coming to the prayer meeting, that's a very important part of the church calendar. And you set yourself to that every Wednesday at 7:30, that you might grow in the Lord and you might be a part of the prayer ministry and the forward movement of this congregation and ministry. Then on Thursday night, we have our first session and board meeting at 6 and 7:30. And next Lord's Day, our Bible classes, 9:45 sharp, and the regular services. One thing to tell you in advance, but to think about, and this is really following on from our young adult conference that we had here in August. The two young ladies that were with us from the Indianapolis congregation, they spoke to their pastor about it, and they said, we were so encouraged that they want to do something over the Christmas time or into the new year in Indianapolis to incorporate the Creation Museum and have some special meetings, special hymn singing, and that will be running from January the 3rd to the 5th. And so if you could be a part of that, if you'd like to be a part of that, then I would encourage you to be contacting Brother Jonathan McAnally. And I know that information has gone out through to all of our young adults. We want to send that out also to our entire congregation, because this is not just for young adults this time. Reverend Bannister said, we want as many to come as would like to come. So that's going to be for families. Everyone would be involved and included in that, January the 3rd to the 5th. And there will be more information to tell you exactly who you'd contact regarding accommodation and so on. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise. We're singing Psalm 63, and we will stand as we praise God with this psalm. Let me ask you to turn this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Just a pause for you today. I'm just having a little difficulty getting my laptop or my iPad open here. So I'm going to just restart it and see if that will help me. In the meantime, we will read the scripture starting at verse number 1 of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts at this time. Let's please bow before him now in prayer. Father, as we have your holy word open now, I pray that its truth, in all of its practical application, Father, would be written upon our hearts. Hear my prayer today. Give me help, Lord, for I need the leading of the Spirit. I need, Lord, the power that is not of self. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would give to every believer here an attentive soul and mind, keep us all from distractions. I pray, dear Father, that we would walk in the center of your perfect will. Bless us now today. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I want to think with you this morning in the opening verse of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And the simple title of the message is this: a living sacrifice. What does that mean for a Christian? What does it mean for a child of God? As we begin a new season of service for the Lord, I want to challenge all of our hearts that we would seriously consider what it means to devote ourselves unto the Lord. Every Christian is called to serve Him. What that looks like for us may well be different in detail, but it will be very common in purpose for every Christian. We know what it is in theory, but oftentimes in practice, it seems that we will hit the wall, and as far as progress is concerned, we might be stopped. We're not going forward. We have all failed to serve as we should. And you know, the battle against the flesh, it seems too often that we don't advance, but rather we are on the retreat. But friends, do not despair. Don't despair for the fact that there is a battle in our lives. It gives us evidence of life. For if there was no battle, well, there would be no spiritual life. There is battle. But there is also a day when we will know the full conquest, the full victory over that, the world, the flesh, and the devil, when we will be in glory and no longer will there be any struggle against sin. And that day will be coming. But until then, let us live each day in the victory that Christ has obtained for us, knowing that we are in that very practical and real daily warfare. I wonder, has God been dealing with your heart in doing something more for God? Getting more involved. Maybe life's circumstances have changed in some way, and you feel compelled that there's more you could be doing, more you want to be doing in the work of Christ. Well, as you give yourself to Him, as you pray, Lord, open that door, you will be surprised, perhaps, and happily so, that God will answer that prayer for you. Now, some might be thinking, but wait a minute, I'm too old for this. I've already lived my years. What can I do as an old person? I've lost my way. I've lost my mobility. Oh, friends, don't think that for a moment. There are yet promises in the Word of God of bearing fruit in older years and older age, for the plant, the tree that God has planted, will bear much fruit even in older age. So let's not be discouraged or thinking that about anyone. Perhaps years ago, you made a prayer for God to take you and use you for His glory, giving yourself to serve Him and serve others. If so, you have already experienced His answer in the leading of the Spirit in your life. But it may be a time now for renewal. It may be a time now that you will say, there's recommitment in order. There's a cause. The cause of Christ is worthwhile. And you want to reinstate your intention to serve God for whatever time he will give you left to live. Now, my friend, is the time for such a prayer of rededication. Maybe your zeal for Christ has waned. Maybe it has leaked away. And you're saying to yourself in your own mind now, maybe the Lord has passed me by. Maybe he has been grieved with me, and there's nothing more that he will allow me to do. Oh, friends, then pray the Word of God into your soul with renewed zeal and enthusiasm. Pray that your love for Christ, your love for his Word, your love to be a disciple and to disciple others would increase and would grow and would be reinstituted, if we could put it that way, in that new purpose in your life again. Well, that's the heart behind the word and the message today, a living sacrifice. And we are admonished from Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The first thought is very simply this put before you, called to Christian service. I beseech you. This is unlike any other call to service or to work. It is an earnest exhortation. It is a plea. It's a plea for aid. It is a response to a need set before you. And while the words have come from a very weathered apostle, one who has served God in his life, one who had gone through the battles and the warfare, they are the words of the Holy Spirit, the one who entreats us to listen and to hear that we may respond with a willing heart. Is your heart open today, my brother and my sister, to the Word of God? I ask myself the question, is my heart open to take the application of this truth into my own soul deeply? Oh, you say, well, isn't a pastor always supposed to be devoted to the Lord? Yes, and much more so. But is the pastor always devoted to the Lord in the way he should be? Sadly, the answer has to be no. And that's why I bring myself under the truth and the spotlight of such a verse as this, and I pray its truth will be in my own soul. I pray the Lord will bring it back to me with power, as that's where I want to be myself. On what ground are we called to serve our Lord and his cause? It is the ground of our redemption. It is the ground of our salvation. It's the ground of the mercy that has been given to us, has been wonderfully and freely made known to our minds. The term here in our text, the mercies of God, it contains for us a superabounding reason. But there are more than just one reason, because it's mercies in plural. So we begin to think of the reason behind why we would give ourselves as a willing sacrifice unto our God. It's because we have been brought out of darkness and into light. There is within the heart of you as a believer the light of life, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have been brought into that relationship with him. We know him. He belongs to us. We belong to him. Our eyes have been opened. We're not any longer the way we once were in the darkness of our own sin. And so we think about the mercies of God and the reasons behind why we should give ourselves. We have received so much from our God, we cannot begin to count up. We cannot begin to enumerate these mercies in our life. We will not be able to write them all down. They are super abounding. And we are called to give ourselves, therefore, without reserve, without reservation, to whatever God will call us to do. Believer, is your life on the altar of service for Him in that dimension and to that degree, in whatever God calls you to do? How can we refuse to give what little we have in light of the amount that the Lord has lavished upon us? Our sins have been forgiven and washed away. Our sins will never come against us forever. They have been put under the blood of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. They are gone. The Lord does not remember our iniquity that at one time damned us to hell forever. They are gone from us today. And we have a home in heaven. We are already there in the eyes of an eternal God. We have received the gift of everlasting life. We say that so easily. And I think about that in my studies and go through the doctrine of eternity, the doctrine of what that means of having life that will never end. And you begin to try to contemplate what that means. And we get to a point where we just cannot fathom what it means. We cannot fully grasp its understanding. And yet the Lord has given to us that very thing. We will live forever. I beseech you, therefore, this is a call that comes for our Christian service. And so we, by God's grace, ask ourselves, am I there to receive this exhortation? Notice the second point is this. We are called here clearly to present something to the Lord. We are here to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Now, I say to you right at the very beginning of this point that the very understood thought behind this is that if we are called to give our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, it is understood that our spirits have already been given to Him. Because we cannot reasonably come to give our bodies, our lives to the Lord, if we haven't given our spirits and our hearts to Him fully. And friend, if you're here today and you're not a believer, you cannot serve God with your life. You can maybe give what you think are your offerings into the offering plate to a local church or some ministry or some benevolent organization. You might give up your time to do something that you think would be the help of other people in a nice way. Those could be a good thing. But you cannot serve God with your life. You cannot serve God with your body, or giving yourself to Him, because the service of God is dependent upon the fact that your spirit has already been given and belongs to Him. And that can only happen by faith in salvation. And so I say to you, friends here, watching this service, perhaps online, are you in Christ today? Do you belong to Him? Does He belong to you? Have you been saved from your sin? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you were to die today, you would be absent from this world and this body and present with the Lord? If you cannot say that, then friend, seek God now. Call upon the Lord now. Confess your sins unto Him now. And if you did in the past at some time say, yes, Lord, I did call upon you, but I'm not sure today, then bring that very issue to the Lord and tell Him, Father, you know I called upon you before, but today I don't have peace. I don't have assurance. There's something wrong. You say that to the Lord. And you bring that very concern to Him. And you say, Lord, please grant to me full assurance of my salvation. Grant to me the understanding that I know I am in Christ, that I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Ah, my friends, you cannot present your body to Him unless, first of all, your spirit is in His hands. The appeal to present our bodies is such an appeal that flows from a willing heart. This is at the very core of Christian service, willingness. The Lord does not come to twist your arm or put your nose down and say, do this. God does not compel us in the strict sense of the term, but He is beseeching us. He is asking us. You get your head around that for a moment? The God of heaven, He is coming to His people and He is asking for our service. He is beseeching us to come and serve Him, appealing that we would give ourselves without reserve to His cause. When Moses was building the tabernacle, the people were given the opportunity to give to that work, but they were not compelled to do it. That's the Lord's way. He said to Moses to speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Well, of course, the very nature of an offering is that it's offered, to bring an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. Exodus 25. And so they were gathering gold and silver and material and all of the components necessary to build the tabernacle. These things were being built. And as they were being built, God was calling His people, would you be willing to offer? In the time of the judges, when Deborah and Barak led Israel to victory over Jabin, the king of Canaan, Deborah rejoiced in her song, and she said this, praise ye the Lord for avenging of Israel. Note this, when the people willingly offered themselves. Yes, there was a cause, and they saw the cause, and they believed in the cause, and they wanted to be a part of that cause. And so they gave of themselves, and they did so willingly. In David's life, in his preparation for the building of the temple that he himself was not allowed to build, he gave much of his own wealth, and he challenged the people also to give, saying, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands and the hundreds with the rulers of the kings were offered willingly. 1 Chronicles 29. Oh, yes, friend. The Lord wants His people to give. In the day of Nehemiah, the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem. What was behind all that? Well, it was the building of the walls. It was the building up and the reconstruction of the temple and to get the sacrifices going again. And so there were some men that offered that they would stay in Jerusalem, that would become their residence, that they would be both protectors, soldiers, guards, workers, and the people that were in the outlying regions, they would also bring their supplies in. But these willingly gave themselves to that. And the people blessed those. They were thankful for those that gave, but they gave a little more. The blessed woman of Proverbs chapter 31, she is said to work willingly with her hands. It's not by constraint that this faithful, godly woman did what she did. It wasn't because it was some duty. It wasn't because there was some husband over her, lording over her, demanding that she produce this, this, and this. No, there was a different spirit about this God-fearing woman. She gave, and she did so with her heart, willingly. Peter in the New Testament admonished the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5. He said, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind." And so I've given you these examples that show us both from the Old Testament context into the New Testament, and the heart behind it all is this, that God wants His people to give to Him, to give to His work out of their own heart. That's the call today. A living sacrifice is to give unto God. All these examples and many more, they show us, what is this idea of giving of yourselves? Well, it's presenting your body. But it's not presenting someone else's body. It's presenting your body. This is given to you. This commitment is personal. It is to be a selfless one, a sacrificial one. It is called a sacrifice and a living one at that. Now, we know the nature of a sacrifice. It means the death of the one who is being offered. And yet, we are called here to bring a living sacrifice. The picture is not hard to see at all. God wants our hearts, and therefore our lives given to Him. We are called to place ourselves on that altar that is both spiritual and practical. It is really a death to ourself, and it is life unto God. It is declaring that I am not my own anymore. I am not the one who's in ownership here. There is one superintending, and I, by His grace, I say, give myself into His hand, and I say, Lord, You are the master, the ruler. You lead me where You want me to go. I present my body a living sacrifice. I willingly serve my master. It's because I love Him. Just as the Old Testament servant had his ear borne through with an awl to the door, and he said, I love my master, and I will not go out free. He bound himself by a life commitment and covenant. And we say the same thing in Christ. we love our Master. I do not want to go out free. I want my life to be in His hands, held by Him, directed by Him, guided by Him. This is an easy thing to say. But you, believer, know, as I do, it's not always an easy thing to do. The only way it can be done is by acknowledging there is a greater power that's at work in us and the Holy Spirit that is alive within us. And as we give ourselves to Him, we are saying, Lord, I am not able for this of my own strength. I can't just turn over a leaf. I can't just sort of get the from within myself to do this. I can't do it. I need a power, the Holy Spirit's power to enable me step by step. This living sacrifice, I want to emphasize that everyone knows for sure what the Lord is asking us for here. This is not a sacrifice that we're giving in order to merit our salvation. It's not of works, lest any righteousness should be done, not by works of righteousness. It's not by any work that we will do, and therefore we would boast of to gain heaven. It's not to do with our salvation. We understand that. And nor is this self-sacrifice or this body sacrifice for the removal of sin. We can't do that either. All of that has been done by the Lord Jesus. The expiation of our sin, the atonement for that, is not by the blood of goats or calves or self, but it is by the perfect blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus. And if there's any hope that we will have of sin being washed away, it's going to be by that cleansing fountain, the cross of Calvary, whereby our sins are purged away. And friends, also let's know very clearly, the Lord is not asking us for some show of ostentation. He's not wanting us to put on some sort of religious play. We're not in the business. There's enough religion out there that would sink the nation. Religion is not the answer. And what Canada needs is not more religion. What the United States needs is not more religion. What we need are those who have come to Christ by faith and those who are being guided and directed, but not for some kind of pageantry. We don't want pomp. We don't want ceremony. We don't want show. We want to know that what we are engaged in is from the heart, and it communicates the Word of God and the life of Christ. Pride so often gets in the way in what we attempt to do. And this is something that we must wrestle with and grasp the balance of in presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice and yet all the time acknowledging, this is not about me. This is not about me getting a little check in the box or some points. It's not about me realizing that I'm going to be awarded for something. No, friend. What it is I am not worthy of the least of your mercies, Lord. And yet you have given to me the very greatest. Our Lord Jesus highlighted this when he called out the Pharisees for making a show of prayer. They would go into the marketplace and they would make great scenes of their praying or great scenes of their large offerings in the temple treasury. They would make great scenes of helping someone. That's not what it's about. They would do it. And Jesus said, in what they have done, they have their reward. And what reward would that be that they have? They have the reward of being seen of men. And that's the end of it. There's no reward to it. That's the bottom line. So what is the service that we are called to? In a very practical way, for some, it will be a call. into full-time service in the pastorate, as a missionary, as a full-time worker. It is the step to relinquish childhood fancies, career opportunities, desirable vocations, and a quiet, settled life near family and friends and home. Yes, that call of God for full-time service is extensive, and it requires a willingness to serve. And it may be that there is someone here today that the Lord's hand is upon regarding that. And I don't know your heart, but if God has been speaking to you or is touching you regarding this, then friend, humble yourself before Him and open your heart and say, Lord, I am willing for whatever that You want me to do. I place my life on the altar of sacrifice for service in whatever You want me to do. For many others, it will be the attitude of heart and life of serving in the local church and of being engaged in that ministry, doing what you can and doing it with all the heart and soul for the glory of Christ. Not always in the forefront. As a matter of fact, most times it will be in the background when no one else sees what you're doing, but you're doing it for the Lord and you're doing it quietly and silently. You're not seeking the praise of people. You're not looking for the attention of others. In truth, you are actually turning away from it because you don't want that. You're desiring only for the honor of Christ. You only want to see the increase of His kingdom. Is there someone here today, and this word would be for you? The Lord may be gently touching you. Is the Spirit compelling a surrender of heart and life? But don't wait until all of the ducks line up. Don't wait until all of life seems to be in order and then you will make that move. No, that's the wrong order. That's the horse before the cart. No, the order is, Lord, I give myself to You. I present my body now, my life, my everything. You know, when it comes to the word surrender and sacrifice, it really means a total surrender. Sacrifice means death. And this is a death to self and a death to cherished plans, perhaps. It's requiring the greatest cost. The Hebrew word for sacrifice, it means devoted. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, devote your bodies. That's the very same word, sacrifice and devote. To give unto God for His own pleasure. And something further, this sacrifice that we are being called to give, it is a sacrifice that means totality, and it also is a holy sacrifice. And the whole point of the Old Testament, animals, that they had to be no spot, no wrinkle. They weren't supposed to bring the animal that had a broken leg that nobody else wanted, so we'll just give it to God instead. No, it had to be a pure, spotless sacrifice. Everything led, of course, toward Christ. And we are called to be holy in our sacrifice to Him. To be holy unto God, it means to be set apart, to be pure and separate from sin. Isaiah 52:11 says, those that bear the vessels of the Lord are to be clean. So the idea is followed on in verse 2 of Romans 12:1, where we are not to be conformed to this world, to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Well, this is a very large topic, you know. Whenever you start to talk about the world and what does the world look like in a Christian's life, and it's one, as soon as you start talking about conforming to the world, or maybe talking about reflecting the world, people can get a little bit offended. And they might think, how dare you? What do you mean I'm not like the world? What do you mean I dress like the world? What do you mean I'm listening to the music of the world? What do you mean by, how can that? And on it goes. Well, friend, this is something that you have to open your heart to before the Lord, because if God is calling us to a sacrifice, it's a sacrifice that means death to self. It's a sacrifice that in the very essence of what's being given to God, it's holy. And holiness is what we are called to give unto the Lord. And therefore, the world and the flesh and the devil and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, all of these things are not of God, they're of the world. And so, you examine your own heart. You examine your own life. Don't worry about examining somebody else's. You just bring that before God and say, Father, would you show me what in my life is not pleasing to you? And when the Spirit of God begins to reveal that, then, friend, as we put that on the altar, and we put the next thing on the altar, we say, Lord, you deal with that. God will have his way, and our lives will be glorifying to him. You know, a sure telltale sign when something's not quite right is if, when something's going on in your life, and you know it's of the world, it's not of God, but you don't want to give it up because it's close to your soul, and you don't want to have that thing torn away, and so you begin to justify things. You begin to make excuses. You begin to say, well, that's not so bad, and this is not so bad, and why can't I do that? I have my Christian liberty. I can do all these things. Really? You think about it. Is it not often an excuse for worldliness? So we pray the searchlight of God's Word would be in our hearts. And this sacrifice, if it is one that means totality and it's a sacrifice that's holy, you know something? It will be pleasing unto God. That's the whole idea behind this. As we give ourselves, devoting our lives, God is happy with what we come to bring. You might think, well, I can't do anything for the Lord. You give yourself in purity and separation and holiness. You let the Lord deal with the rest. He is pleased to accept what you bring. Yes, we are called to Christian service. Have you prayed, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee? I close with this. Third point. This is not unreasonable. It's our reasonable service. And how many times are we tempted to feel that God is maybe asking too much of us? But this is where the reality of our faith will be seen. Selfishness dominates the old nature, but generosity of self characterizes the new nature. So we want to keep things to self. Pride will want to see those things rising up. We don't want to acknowledge that the Lord can have 100%. He could have 95%. But you see, friends, reasonably, of all that we have received of the mercies of God, reasonably, it is a devotion and a giving unto Him. Should we not give all that has been willingly given? In the light of all that Christ has done for us, give willingly to Him. How can we ever make a comparison in relation to that? It's no wonder Paul called it reasonable, which is such an understatement to the reality. By contrast, we should give 1,000 lives to the Lord. Wesley wrote that hymn, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise," because he knew that God was worthy of 1,000 lives, 1,000 mouths, 1,000 tongues. Well, what about 1,000 lives to give? Of course the Lord is worthy of that. God calls us to think and to reason and to consider the cost of our salvation and the reward of serving Him. So may the Lord be pleased to write His truth upon all our hearts this morning and apply it to each one of us. And again, friend, I say, if you are not a believer or perhaps have backslidden away, the Lord gives another opportunity to come and be right with Him. I pray that will be the case today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you would take this word by the Spirit of God and write it upon every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would conform us more in holiness to our Lord Jesus, and that we would have the right spirit and the right attitude. Lord, don't let self rise up. Don't let selfish motives take control. But rather, we will, because we have been given much, we will love much. And because we have given much, we will unreservedly give ourselves. Write your truth upon our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing this hymn in closing. It's not in our hymnal, it's in our old one, but the words are there, and I think the tune is not unfamiliar to you as well. Let's have the organ piano, please, play through the first verse, and then we will stand to sing. Father, we pray today that these words, in their simplicity, and yet their profound power and truth, would be on our minds and hearts. Separate us now, Lord, in your fear. Watch over us on this Lord's Day. Bring us back again, please, Lord, to your house tonight in the joy and rejoicing of your Spirit. Hear our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.